Hey guys, thank you for listening to the Zach Scriven Podcast. The Zach Scriven Podcast is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. It gives you everything you need right in one place for free to publish your podcast across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcasting place. You can record, edit, and even add sponsorships and earn money from your podcast. Really easy to get started. Go to anchor.fm or download the Anchor app to get started. And thank you, Anchor, for sponsoring the Zach Scriven Podcast. Thanks for listening.
So from a machine, at least in our industry that we focus in, oil and gas, machine learning, we're using it for doing more equipment optimization and prediction, so like failure prediction, so knowing when things potentially are going to fail. And so, because what we see a lot of times is, at least in oil and gas, where like customers depend on, obviously, their, you know, the manufacturers to supply the right, you know, equipment or whatever, sometimes it's missized or whatever, which ultimately will lead to failures or whatever. And so then from that standpoint, you know, so we're looking at predicting, well, so not only when will it fail, but when it does fail, so what should we do next time, right? So what, you know, type of pump or motor or whatever should we run next time in a well, necessarily?
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Dude. Justin Dean in the flesh.
That's right.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you finally in person.
Yeah.
Instead of remotely, essentially, you know.
Digital waveforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, dude, thanks for helping also champion me at CSC Icon and help kind of get this Industry 4.0 road trip off the ground. It's been a whirlwind, dude. I can't believe it's already almost over, you know.
Yeah, it seems like it just started, and then, you went MIA, and then now you're almost
so it did, it did feel it. Like I went out MIA a little bit. Yeah. People have been telling me that they're like, we don't really know where you're at, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I haven't really been updating so much because I've been like doing so much, you
right
know?
Right.
And so I kind of took that perspective. I was like, all right, well, the road trip's already secured, so let me, you know, I'm trying to update people as I go, but also I'm trying to just actually focus on delivering good content and doing the interviews. A lot of it was actually just a vacation too, you know. A lot of the stops, like Yellowstone, not a whole lot of Industry 4.0 there, you know. Yeah. Redwood National Forest, I had to really make a stretch to make that analogy of, you know, how redwoods are Industry 4.0, but you know. And then doing the influencer meetups and LinkedIn Global, and it's literally been nuts. And
and then you have one tonight, right?
Yeah, it's 2 hours, so yeah, but once we wrap up here, we'll go to do that. We'll go to the aquarium is a good example of Industry 4.0. a lot of sensors and pumps and valves and water treatment, water quality, also the operations, like guests coming in, tickets.
Oh yeah,
you could integrate like that and the entire enterprise of the aquarium, right?
Yeah,
that'd be, I mean,
that's a pretty
example.
Big operation, I think, down there.
Yeah.
Are you on the one downtown?
Yeah. So that's where the meetup's at.
Okay, yeah.
Right out front. Mary and Zoe are actually there right now. So we're going to go down there from here, meet up with some friends, and then from there, I'm going to go actually into the aquarium and get a couple hours in with Zoe before they close, and then we're going to head out to San Antonio, and that's kind of making our way over towards West Texas for the last sponsor stop. And then we're going to go to Phoenix Friday. We're doing like kind of a meetup in Phoenix. And then from there, we're going to go to the Grand Canyon, the Hoover Dam, because that's like a really awesome industry stop. And then Vegas is just kind of like the celebratory grand finale. And funny enough, like actually part of the road trip is still going to, it's not the road trip, but it's part of the documentary that's going to kind of fall in place after. Like Aviva, I'm going to go interview them on October 1st. October 3rd, Tesco Controls. I don't know if you know them. They're having like this Tesco Tech kind of open house that they're actually reached out to them to sponsor the road trip, and they said no to that, but they're like, hey, well, we have this event, would you be willing to come?
I've seen them in ICC. I mean, I've seen them several guys from there.
And what do you think? What do you think? Are they? I'll let you speak. What are your opinion?
I don't know them much about them. I've seen them out there quite a bit.
They're pretty big.
You see them all over, you know, social media at least, and so forth. So, and at some of the conferences and things like that. So yeah. I mean, I think. I would imagine based on that, I mean, at least they figured a way how to get exposure, you know, so.
Yeah.
For sure, so.
That's interesting. So, Inductive Automation, also I'm interviewing them at some point in October. I don't know if that's officially set, but.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of have some ancillary interviews and also like any type of voiceover work that I want to do. So if there's like, you know, a sequence, like, all right, you know, from going from, you know, Kirbyville to CSE, like I might do some sort of voiceover to kind of help tell the entire story of the road trip and Industry 4.0 and kind of gather some of those insights and try to package it real nicely and hopefully get that out like by the end of this year. So,
okay.
But so what do you want to talk about AI and machine learning and what you've been doing here at CSEI?
Yeah, Connor? I mean, so from a machine, at least in our industry that we focus in, oil and gas, machine learning, we're using it for doing more equipment optimization and prediction. So like failure prediction, so knowing when things potentially are going to fail. And so because what we see a lot of times is at least in oil and gas where like customers depend on obviously their, you know, the manufacturers to supply the right, you know, equipment or whatever. Sometimes it's missized or whatever, which ultimately will lead to failures or whatever. And so then from that standpoint, so we're looking at predicting, well, so not only when will it fail, but when it does fail, so what should we do next time, right? So what, you know, type of pump or motor or whatever should we run next time in a well? Necessarily.
Really getting deep into oil and gas vertical then.
So also from a well perspective is optimizing the well. So kind of taking the data from the well as well as the pumping systems that are used within, you know, in what they call the artificial lift side of that business is to sort of bring those worlds together. To sort of, because obviously they impact one another, right, and so on, is to sort of have an overall optimization and prediction, you know, system, I guess, as part of your, you know, infrastructure. So that's kind of where we're using, you know, machine learning. Obviously, AI is a piece of that at some point, you know, as well. But and so, like I said, I submitted some stuff to ICC. This past week, and so that would seem had pretty good responses and stuff. They referenced it quite a bit during their machine learning session. So anyway,
very cool.
Yeah.
How was ICC?
It's my first time, so it was definitely because I don't go to a lot of conferences, I've been to some, but yeah, I mean I liked it, and so it was definitely. An interesting time because there was, I would say majority, but a lot of people that were there obviously followed me on LinkedIn.
Right.
So it was like you walk 5 feet, someone's like shaking your hand or you know.
It's the strangest thing ever.
Even inductive automation people, like I was leaving the machine learning conference where they had brought us down below the stage to answer questions, stuff like that, and then I was leaving and there was some random inductive automation guy or whatever was like, hey Justin or whatever, you know. So anyway, I guess like I said, it was a pretty good experience, you know, for the most part, seeing a lot of, you know, I was met the guys at Corso Systems and stuff. So I mean I've talked to them, you know, over time and done some WebExes with them and stuff like that. But you know, like I said, I met Alex Marcy and some others there. So anyway, yeah, it was pretty good for my first time. I thought it was an interesting experience. They kind of end it sort of in a unique way with the build-a-thon and all of that stuff. So
yeah,
it's a pretty interesting.
I saw some photos of that.
It was pretty
explain,
cool.
Explain that.
Yeah, so they have the you know, obviously the Travis and Kevin have built objects or modules or templates over, well, I won't say modules, but more templates over probably time or whatever. And so then they sort of give them, I guess, an hour to take all those, all these templates with basically a goal in mind, with, you know, so it may be like building a water wastewater facility or something, which does this, this, and this, and that. And so, and to see sort of who comes up with the best solution with the objects that they had at their disposal or whatever.
And how is it graded?
And then it was graded by, like, they had, it was kind of interesting. They had this sort of sports center feel where they had like a panel of Don Pearson, which he could be on ESPN probably.
Almost like an American Idol or something.
Yeah, where they had like three judges, I think. Three or four. I think it was just three. But anyway, yeah, it was interesting. And so they obviously try to make it funny and stuff like that to keep everybody engaged.
This is so cool.
So I had told someone, and I had posted out there on LinkedIn, like, it was, I mean, from my perspective, it was between a sporting event and like a comedy show. It was kind of like that. But it was pretty cool.
I thought of it kind of like esports, like kind gaming, competition. Right?
As far as the atmosphere, it was like, you definitely had people rooting for one or the other.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, it was team
Kevin or team Travis.
Yeah. Okay. So,
do you think they're going to expand on that concept? Or was it just a one-time, like?
I think this was like the second year, I guess, that they did it, because I think they did it the year before.
Yeah, I remember the first year.
I think
it seems like this year was more like a production versus.
Yeah, because they had like a host essentially, it's one of the guys there that had spoke at one of the other sessions. He kind of hosted it, you know, I guess. Well, he was kind of like the Ryan Seacrest or whatever of that.
They should definitely open that up.
So at the end, they had people vote on the app, you know. So almost like American Idol, I guess you could say, or whatever. So and then they announced who the winner is, and then they had, you know, confetti come down and all that sort of stuff. Like I said, it was an interesting way to do it.
Then you get the title.
I wasn't expecting that. As far as I heard about the build-a-thon, but then I'm like, okay, well, how actually interesting is this really going to be? So was my thought, because I had never, you know, experienced it before, you know. But like I said, it was pretty good.
Look at that, guys.
So.
Control system integration is now becoming a thing. It has its own entertainment industry.
When they would speak about it, it was almost like they were announcing like a game or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
I think they should continue that, but I think they should also open it up to like where, you know, you and
someone else compete against each other,
or like, you know, there's preliminary
team
rounds.
Kevin have like, you know, a set of people, you know, or something like that.
No, I think just like have an ignition league and anyone can join.
And
it's not like Team Kevin or Team, you know, Justin Dean or Team Walker Reynolds or, you know, Team Sean Terrell.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it'd be cool because, like,
yeah, definitely.
Why not? You know, if it was interesting enough to watch, like, maybe people would tune in, and it's another form of marketing for Inductive. I think that's really cool. So, what about other than that, what was the other kind of general takeaways? Nothing new.
It seemed to me, because we discussed this yesterday internally, just had like a debrief of what we seen out there. From my perspective, there's a big push on MQTT, and then machine learning. That seemed to be kind of like the message going out, is sort of, you know, all those two pieces. I think to me, like, stood out. And it stood out to some others. I think more or less MQTT probably stood out more than anything as far as, like, this is where everyone should be going, you know. So, like, even, like, integrators taken away from that are looking at, well, now we need to sort of, like, probably lead with that more so than just saying, well, when your customer asks for whatever it is, like, you have an actual plan to go, you know, deliver, you know, the best sort of, you know, situation, you know. Yeah.
So how are the integration community, how are the general, you know, sense of collaboration community, is it getting more open? Are you seeing more, more type of that collaboration community?
There's definitely more and more people collaborating to sort of, like, get different messages out.
And kind of like your podcast?
Yeah, kind of like what me and Sean Terrell's doing, and it's kind of expanded now to a guy named Vlad, the guy in Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very cool.
And then the guy that does Industry 4.0 TV. So, like,
Kudazi.
Yeah. It kind of, like, in that situation, we're sort of, like, taking different pieces and kind of putting them together from an IoT perspective to sort of show the whole the whole thing, so that people can kind of see the whole picture and sort of see, okay, well, you know, like the SCADA piece and, like, the cloud piece, and maybe, like, you know, how you're getting data to the central place, things like that. So I think also people have to be careful that they're not using it just for that they're not trying to market like themselves, but like, as like, okay, well, I've put all these people together.
Everyone has a podcast.
But I want, like, if I invested X amount, I want to market my company.
You guys are getting sponsors or?
No, I'm just saying people in general shouldn't be, it's probably one of those things that could be like an easy trap to fall into, to where, okay, well, I can use this platform to market everything I do, but realistically, it should be about pushing out information to sort of help a community, because the marketing is going to happen. It's a byproduct of everything that you're adding value to.
Yeah,
I mean, from the way I see it, I mean, you know, for the most part, you know,
I think that's always, I don't know if that's always been that way or if that's been a recent shift with things like the internet and social media.
Well, some people, they try to push, you know, everything's about, I'm the salesman, I'm trying to sell you, even in videos, you know, is I'm trying to sell to whatever service it is. So, like, you know, like, you'll see a lot of these guys that have big organizations that when they do videos, you know, like, you take like a Gary Vee or someone like that, he's not selling you anything, but he's leading you to, he drives you to where he wants you to go to buy his stuff, because based on the message he's delivering to certain people, obviously there are some people who don't like him, but ultimately, you know, his videos are not about selling his products and all of that sort of stuff. It's the complete opposite. So he's driving the people from the LinkedIn side to maybe Facebook or to maybe his website or wherever it is, to where, you know, now, because now you trust that person, you know, as far as, like, you know, I mean, information that they're, you know.
How long have you been following Gary Vee?
Not really long. I mean, I'd heard about him through, I think maybe you guys had mentioned him or something and stuff.
So Gary Vee has made his way into the automation
probably
community.
A good, like, infiltrated. Few months. I watch his video. Okay. I used to watch his videos quite a bit.
Albert, do you have to take a quick break, or are you good to go?
I'm good.
Albert, could you take over the podcast real quick? I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I think once the road trip's done, I'm going to be chilling on Industry 4.0 for a good minute.
Yeah, you probably had your good...
Industry 4.0 is coming out of my ears, you know?
Probably, yeah, I'm sure, but now...
No. No, it's still really fun stuff. I'm just kind of I have that one. I don't know. Maybe you're similar, but I kind of have that one track mindset. So like once I get on something, I just pursue it and pursue it like with an obsessive type of.
Oh yeah, I've done that recently. Yeah.
What's your recent?
Well, recently because I was off. Well, because obviously I was back home for about 2 weeks and there wasn't much going on. And so I knew we were going to do this podcast where we're demonstrating IoT. And so we were using, we were going to use the platform like Factory Studio.
Okay.
And so I had done a little bit with it, but I just kind of just brushed it to the side, I mean, for the most part. And then I'd been talking to some people about it and they, you know, tell me or I guess asking me what I thought about whatever. And so I said, well, I've played with it a little bit to know it's pretty cool, but I haven't like broke it necessarily. So I say, okay, well, I want to take an application. So I decided just do it in my spare time to take an application I had done in .NET like several years ago. That was a artificial lift monitoring system, and so then I basically decided to replicate it in Factory Studio. So I kind of, I still have, and so ultimately, like, so I've kind of pushed a lot of the buttons.
So now you dove deep into Factory Studio.
Yeah, I mean, from the scripting to,
what do you like most about it?
I like everything is pretty much one click. No matter where you're at, it's one click to, like, if you want to go from a script to your screens to your tags, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all, like, I mean, it was designed in a way, like, everything is pretty accessible within one or two clicks for the most part. So, like I said, I mean, I think it's, and talking to some people, you know, about, I guess they have, like, a beta version coming out where it's going to have now Python and possibly an MQTT broker. In it, so now where those things are legit. Now, I haven't seen that. I've only been working with the version that I had at the time. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's. I still don't really see, like a lot of people say, well, it's something. Well, people are replacing, you know, Ignition with Factory Studio and this and that. And so maybe if someone would try to do that, but I see it really replacing other maybe SCADA platforms that might be more time consuming, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, for the most part, like it's a pretty good platform. Obviously it's kind of in a new, you know, I guess life cycle so far. It's not like Ignition is somewhat matured by now.
Talking about this earlier, like whether or not Ignition is, you know, I guess only time will tell if Aid and Perspective is kind of its new resurgence or, you know, if they're kind of on the way out, so to speak. You know, I mean, I love Ignition. I'm sure someone from Ignition or Inductive Automation is watching this, but I think, you know, we've seen this cyclical pattern happen, and Rich was the one. Did I say Rick again?
No, Rich.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So Rich Wagner, he was saying, like, you know, back in the 80s, like, Intellusion was really popular because of the platform that it ran on, and Ignition became really popular in the late 2000s because of the IT technologies. So I guess depending on what that next, I guess right now it's kind of like a mobile technology phase. So
well, I think
you're seeing a lot of
think as far as Ignition, no one had seen it anything I will say like it necessarily, you know, for the most part. I mean, from the way I see it, I mean, to me, prior to Ignition, well, what I called and as close to being open as it was, which is more unified, but it had some versatility, was like Iconics. Even though it's OPC to the core and this and that, but it pretty much allowed you to be able to bring things from outside in, you know, because it is a built-in .NET and so on. But like Ignition, it's so, and that was the thing people said about Iconics at the time, is you can do anything you want in it as long as you can come up with the idea to do it, right? The same thing is true for like Ignition. Is like, you're it's very, I mean, it's a whole lot more open than all these other platforms. So realistically, no one has seen anything like it, at least at that point. And so it's like, okay, well, now how do you do a project, right? Because it's so open, it's kind of like a development environment, right? It's not like a development it's own development language, but it's its own, like, kind of like a version of .NET is, you know, where you have this suite of stuff where that you have access to. And so, but yeah, I mean, I think all these companies have to reinvent themselves over time, you know, come, you know, push the envelope, so to speak, to sort of keep things moving along.
Did they talk about the exchange, inductive automation exchange there?
Yeah.
I just saw a video that popped up on my YouTube.
Yeah, so all the objects that they were using in the build-a-thon were actually already out there.
Very cool.
Now, not all of them that they were using, because they only had like an hour, but they used and so I went out, like I said, I didn't leave till the following day, so I went back to my room. I went out there, I looked at some of them and was playing with them. So you know, just so I could see kind of what, you know, it was all about or whatever. So, I mean, I think that'll be a good thing, which is something not really anyone really does on mainstream.
Yeah. I mentioned that it would be cool to have some form of marketplace where you could put up a template that you could sell.
They mentioned that. I mean, as far as like someone asked a question about that, and they was like, "Well, this is
right now it's all free,
kind of new, but yeah, that is something that, you know, in the future, it might be something to
I think about like downloadable content, or not necessarily like a module, you know, because obviously they have the module.
Not a module, but maybe templates and
almost like a WordPress theme. You pay 20, 30 bucks or 99 bucks, you get like this nice looking graphical UI.
Already sort of started,
And that way it also incentivizes developers like you in your own time working on this stuff, and you can maybe even make a pretty good, you know, side income off of it.
And then they had the Cross Industry Collective.
Okay,
which was pretty interesting. They had it's a combination of, I think, a few integrators, and then and customers, I guess, they sort of put this thing together. And so they were looking, you know, obviously for more people and stuff like that. So it, I think they're trying to get more of like a collaborative, kind of like an open source mindset to a certain degree. And so I think that'll ultimately help move things along to where people are, you know, trying to, not necessarily trying to make things, I mean, for this purpose, but obviously if they have came up with templates as part of projects and things like that, that they can ultimately, you know, share that, because they've obviously made their money on it at some point. And so it's something that they can now share to the world, essentially, you know, and it may help someone out, you know,
it's almost the same concept as doing the podcast or, anything of that nature. So what was did you get any additional feedback on the LinkedIn personal branding or the podcast or just anything, obviously, besides people just knowing who you are? Did you
just get any feedback? Just knowing me, people say they follow me, you know, like some people, because there was people there that were recruiters, and a little bit of every type of person, you know, really there. So, I mean, it was like some people just, okay, I follow you and you put out, you know, like you, I read all your messages or whatever it is, you know, or posts and stuff. And so, I mean, but it was a little.
Did anyone say why they haven't done that themselves or?
No, I mean, it was more or less like my being noticed was like a springboard into conversation, you know, because people's like, well, you know, Justin's LinkedIn famous or something.
That's funny.
Along those lines.
You're a LinkedIn influencer, Justin.
Along those lines or something.
You officially made it.
I think Rich is like, yeah, you need one of those influencer hats or whatever. And I was like,
influencer hats.
Like, calm down.
The store is going up. The swag shop is going up. Oh, yeah. And, you know, people could pick them up.
So anyway, it was interesting. I mean, I've only had that, well, not for that particular reason, but only, I guess, a couple other times in my life. It was It was good though. I mean, that's cool. Because it makes everything like that more smaller. So it makes the world of our industry sort of very small. Well, when you think, okay, well, there's all these people, so it's a very big thing. But ultimately, when people are following other people, and it may be because someone's putting out content and stuff like that, but ultimately, it makes actually that world pretty small because now everyone starts to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
That's why I want everyone to, you know, get on social media. And even though it'll become a little bit harder for the early adopters, people like, you know, yourself and me and, you know, Kudazi, like, there'll be a little bit more noise out there. So I think people that don't start like this year, maybe they start next year or the year after, you know, it might take a little bit longer to get that following or to get that same exposure. But in the same sense, everyone will still be communicating at a more frequent pace and ideas will spread more prolifically. I think in general, we'll have a better level of communication, just like when, you know, the printing press came in, or imagine when the, telegram first came in. You know, instead of having to ride a horse to tell someone, hey, you know, this is how you, you know, program an ignition, now you can just send a telegraph.
Yeah.
You know, well, now you can just send a video about, you know, what you learned at ICC or latest updates on MQTT.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what people were doing. People were taking videos of stuff they were seeing there.
And so you were seeing more people doing video then? Or?
Yeah, there was a guy from Pakistan. He was videoing like all the different.
Rafi.
Rafi's
cool.
Yeah, he was the first one. Like, I was sitting there, just got my stuff, and I'm trying to figure everything out.
Did he want to do a video with you?
No, well, I mean, it didn't get that far because I was trying to get to my first session, but like, he was like, because my back was turned, I guess he, but maybe the side view or something.
He recognized
it. He said, Justin, and I'm like, and it's just like 8 o'clock in the morning. So then, and there's probably, it's not that many people there yet. And so ended up, talking for a few minutes and stuff like that. And so he's like, yeah, I follow you on LinkedIn and all this sort of stuff. And then we pretty much stayed in contact throughout the conference and had some time outside the conference and stuff like that. So, and then he met, you know, some other people that I knew and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. I mean, I think that, like I said, it brings the worlds to where, like, you know, like a very small place to where you think, like, you know, it's kind of like how people look at like celebrities and say, okay, well, you have like all these other, I guess, layers, but if you were in a certain area, that world may seem small because you may actually personally know that person or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, not to that degree, but it's ultimately similar from my perspective, is like, you know, everybody, you know, follows yourself or Walker or even these other folks that aren't necessarily in automation, like Sam Lister and people like that, that are like, you know, are trying to put their message out there and so on. And obviously, when you cross paths, it's a much smaller world, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, I know this guy or girl, whoever it is, you know. So I think that's a pretty cool thing, you know, from that perspective, you know. So
speaking of perspective, one of the other sponsors, SCADA Integrators and Service.
Yeah.
Albert was telling me that their hosted service, their app that they have, that some of their customers are on kind of a subscription model, that they started tracking who was using a desktop client and who was logging into the mobile client. And he said over 80% or about 80% of the logins are from the mobile client. So it's really, you know, I guess proof that, you know, things like the perspective module, they actually have their own web app using web dev. They've had it going on since 7.8, but, you know, they're looking at perspective as well. But I think case in point is, you know, even like YouTube, the numbers have been out for a while that mobile is, you know, primarily where people are watching YouTube videos. Well, now industrial automation and control systems, you're starting to see that same adoption rate for mobile. So I think that's
pretty
cool.
Mobile HMI, I think it's been a thing for quite a while, but it was
more of a novelty before.
Yeah, like, you know, you go back to like the early 2003, 2004, you know, Iconics was probably one of the few that had a mobile HMI, or I guess web HMI, I'll say. And so now you got more folks have it, and then obviously Ignition has really two different paths you can take to get more mobile or web-based or whatever, you know, from that perspective. So, and I think the more, I think people originally, when they look at perspective, they're intimidated by it. But if you said, and you really just look at it, it's actually very, like, because you look at it, it looks like you're in, like, Dreamweaver or something like that, or, you know, or like in a more web development environment. But really, like, if you, like, sort of, like, and it may take people watching some videos to sort of get to that point, but, like, I think it's actually not much different, at least from how you do things, than, like, vision. I mean, obviously, there are some differences, but mainstream, if you, so once you get outside the scripting and all that sort of stuff, I think they're very closely configurable the same way. Now, obviously, perspective has maybe some more features that you can do certain things just because of how the web piece is all handled or whatever. But no, I mean, I think it'll have its fit, you know.
Very cool.
In that, so it's very interesting. So what I'm doing right now is, like, you know, some stuff I work on, like, I'll build a vision of the thing and I'll build it in perspective. And so, like, on some stuff I'm working on, some templates and stuff like that. So I'll that's the sort of, you know, so you can kind of see, like, okay, well, how would you use it?
Right.
You know,
that's very useful
from that standpoint.
And you're going to videos on that as well?
I mean, possibly. I mean, unless it's like something proprietary or something like that. Right. But I mean, for the most part, what I'm trying to do in my spare time is do things where I compare, like I was saying, I was trying to push all the buttons and break, like, Factory Studio, for example. Well, my idea is, like, okay, well, so why not build these same applications in, like, two different platforms and just kind of see what the process was like, right, to do the same thing in, you know, two or three different platforms or something. Obviously, that may take a lot of time at some point or whatever, but I think that helps also keep up your skill and stuff. And also look at things like, well, maybe, you know, for something like this, this works better than what I thought worked, you know, or what, you know, so, you know, things like that, I think open up sort of, you know, your eyes and stuff like that. At least for me, that's kind of how I am, you know, so.
So, Justin, our time is coming to an end here, man. What is something you want people to take away from the podcast today? And what is something you want people to take away from the Industry 4.0 road trip?
I think from the Industry 4.0 road trip, I think I would take away that, you know, people need to be aware of how automation and everything that kind of is consumed within Industry 4.0 is affecting everyone's how they get information, how they get, you know, food on their table, how they get to where they want to go in their vehicles, and things like that. Because automation is pretty much in. So while you may not be in it, but you're affected by it in some form or other. So obviously, if it can be helped and improve, you know, things in this country, then obviously people should ultimately, you know, support it more than they do, you know, than it is right now. I mean, even though, I mean, it's supported in a lot of circles, but also it has its stigma too, to where, okay, it's taking away jobs or things like that, which in reality is just improving deficiencies in processes in a lot of situations, you know, is the way I, you know, see it, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is it was kind of a good thing that you're doing. Obviously, you're meeting different types of companies throughout your, you know, journey across the country.
Yeah.
And it sort of paints the picture of like different people doing kind of the same thing,
right?
But in different applications and did different things. And it, and also it will show like there really isn't much difference between like when someone says, well, you're an oil and gas industry or you're a manufacturing industry, then you can't do certain things, because at the end of the day it's pretty much the same things. It's just in different sort of industries is the way that I see it. Hopefully those sort of pictures can be painted for people to see all the different industries that are affected by sort of industry 4.0. and I think the having you do have technologies that came on the scene in sort of the end of 3.0 into 4.0, so they're sort of a hybrid, so mobile apps,
right,
is a thing where someone may say, well, that's really not an industry 4.0 thing, but it is, but it's also part of probably 3.0,
right,
because of when it actually probably got started, but anyway, so yeah, I mean, those things, I see, as a positives out of your road trip,
I really hope that people enjoy it. And I mean, I've enjoyed it. It's been hard, a lot of driving, a lot of work, and just a lot of fun though.
Yeah, it, I'm sure it is hard work. I mean, on just going across, I went to Myrtle Beach one time from Oklahoma once, and I was like, I'll never drive cross country again.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably chill on road trips. Maybe the next one will be via plane. Maybe we'll do a world trip. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. I travel the world. That's the, that was always my favorite part of my job, but all of them.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you, Justin. Good seeing you, man.
Yep. Good to see you.